Namaste. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Today we are going to begin month 6 of the Yoga of Entrepreneurship Satsang, understanding your dosha, and most significantly for our purposes, what it means for your business. So your dosha is your innate constitution, okay? We each have an innate constitution. And the concept of a dosha is from the sister of yoga, Ayurveda. Sometimes I have trouble pronouncing that word. And Ayurveda is, according to our resident expert, Rishi Forrester, the oldest system of health. And a dosha is a biological energy force. So this is a very different way of thinking about health and thinking about the body and really thinking about kind of the natural world, actually, than Western medicine. And according to Ayurveda, the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, combine together and take form, okay? All form is created out of these elements. And each of the elements take form as in 3 different ways, 3 different fundamental building blocks. And those are the doshas, these 3 biological energy forces. So one thing to understand is that everything, not just humans, okay, have the qualities of the doshas, okay? And the doshas are constantly in interplay. So you can see the doshas are, one, holistic. They permeate the entire material world. Everything we can see and experience has qualities of one of these 3 doshas, or all 3 of them in some combination. And the other quality of the doshas is that they're dynamic, okay? They're constantly changing. They're actually unstable in their qualities, the level of their qualities, how they express, and their kind of distribution amongst each other, how much of one versus the other is expressing itself at any given time in any material form. So they're holistic and they're dynamic. So what are these 3 doshas? We've mentioned them previously, so you may be familiar, but I'll review. The 3 doshas are vata, which has the qualities of air and ether, pitta, which has the qualities of fire and water, and kapha, which has the qualities of earth and water. Just to give you an example of how these doshas play out in kind of non-human material form. Today, the day that we're recording this, we in Atlanta are having a very vata day where it's cold, very cold. It's been very windy and dry. So the season has the qualities of vata right now. Even though on the calendar, it's February, and late February, we're moving into spring, which is actually a kapha season, okay, that has to do with the earth and with water. You can think about, you know, what happens in spring. It rains. Their earth becomes soaked and heavy. A lot of times we feel like we're getting a cold or we're draining from our sinuses. All of that is kapha, those qualities of water and earth. So that's an example of how those show up in the natural, non-human world. So if we were to summarize kind of the characteristics of each of these doshas, I'll start with vata. Vata in its best form, okay, what it brings to the vitality of life is clarity, creativity. Okay, vata is about movement, it's about change, it's about clearing out stuff that isn't needed, seeing through the muck. Okay, if you think about the wind and movement, vata is about that. It's also highly, highly flexible, which gives it its ability to be creative. So Vata would be clarity and creativity if we were to summarize it in its balanced, useful form. On the negative side, or the imbalance side, when there's Vata imbalance, there tends to be fear. Okay? Anxiety and fear is how an imbalance would manifest. There's more detail about this in the chart, the attributes of the doshas, but I just wanted to give you one or two words for each in a summary so that you can kind of use it as a touch point as you go forward assessing how this plays out in your own body, in your own health, in your own routine. So Vata, clarity, creativity, and also on the other side, fear. And so what Vata needs most in order to balance what that those characteristics need most to promote clarity and creativity and release fear or not create fear is routine. Okay, there needs to be a feeling of safety and stability, and routine, habits, rituals create that. So we'll be talking about that in the context of your business. The second dosha is Pitta. And Pitta, in its useful form, is transformation and vitality. Okay, so energy, enthusiasm, anything that is really vital. Okay, and the negative attribute, how that manifests, is in anger, okay, an excess of heat. You can think about it. People who are in rage, we sometimes call it seeing red or being on fire. So you can see how that relates to the Pitta dosha. And the key to balancing Pitta is not to get overheated. So it's balance, okay, and there can be a lot of drive in the Pitta element or the Pitta dosha. It's the thing, again, it's energy, it's vitality. It moves us forward to act, to change things. So those are very positive qualities, transformation and vitality. And the key to elevating those, utilizing those, and releasing anger is balance. Not to let yourself go too far in one direction or too far in the other. And the last dosha is Kapha. Okay, and Kapha's positive, really useful attributes are stability and harmony. Okay, think about being devoted, being nurturing, being committed to something, stability and harmony. And how that can get out of balance and manifest is through attachment or inertia. Okay, so I think you understand what I mean by attachment. Like, the mind most of the time gets very attached to something. It becomes one-pointed focus. Or something stops working, but we continue to hold on to it. Or we were angry, but instead of allowing that to fade away as the situation passes and allowing ourselves to heal and move on, we're attached to that situation or that feeling or that hurt. So that can be a Kapha imbalance. Inertia is also a form of attachment, okay? Failure to move, failure to change, I would say absence, okay, of stimulation, which is the key to balancing Kapha, is sufficient stimulation. The Kapha dosha needs to build stimulation, seek out stimulation, even though it's not naturally inclined to do that, because the stimulation is what's going to help balance any tendency toward inertia or attachment, and allow those qualities of stability and harmony to come forth while minimizing the attachment or inertia tendencies. So those are kind of the short descriptions of the attributes of each one of the doshas. And it's important to understand that no one and no thing are wholly one dosha and absent of the others. Okay, everyone and everything is some combination of these sets of energy forces, these sets of characteristics. However, they're in different proportions. So we may call ourselves a vata dosha, okay, say I am of that constitution. But really what we're saying is that my experience is that I experience these qualities predominantly. Now, what I have learned from Ayurvedic practitioners is that we not only do we possess all three doshas in some proportion at all times, but we're actually not even, we can't even consider ourselves to be one dosha. Most of us are some combination of two doshas primarily in the way that our physical and mental, emotional qualities manifest. However, for the purposes of kind of understanding how to balance ourselves, again, it can be helpful, at least at first, to focus on which dosha is exhibiting itself, okay, or is expressing itself predominantly in your body, in your mind, and in your experience. So that's what we'll be using for the purposes of this month. And if you have further questions, one, about your predominant dosha, what that means, what its attributes are, what some balancing practices are, again, Rishi Forrester will be with us this month to address those considerations much more deeply. So there are three ways in which the doshas are significant to your business. One is what I just touched upon, which is your health and well-being generally. Two is how to structure your work, okay, to support and encourage your vitality and fulfillment. And three is the balanced health of your business itself as an organism. Remember, everything that comes into existence is a combination of these energy forces. So naturally, your business itself as an entity or as an organism will have a combination of these energy forces also. As I said, Rishi will give you a deeper understanding of each dosha and how it impacts your health and well-being so that you can begin to use some Ayurvedic practices as self-care. Okay, I'm only going to say here about that obviously your health and well-being has tremendous impact on your ability to create your best work. It's essential to you showing up in every capacity. Being in balance according to your dosha gives you access to the intelligences of your four non-physical subtle bodies, okay? So when I say it's essential to you showing up in every capacity, I'm referring back to the five sheaths of the body that we've discussed both at the beginning of the program in month two and last month in relationship to Dharma and the Dharma path. Okay, so doshas relate to this also. And how I'd like to share with you about that is that when you're integrating your business and spiritual practices, okay, being able to access the intelligences of your, of all five chiefs of your body becomes essential. And here's why. Okay, to review the five chiefs of the body, the physical body, the energetic body, the mental or sometimes called sensate body, the wisdom body, and the bliss body. Those are the five chiefs of the body. Yoga understands health as health of all five of these bodies because that is how you experience wholeness. Okay, it's through all five of the chiefs of the body, unifying them, that you experience wholeness, that union with the divine, that deep understanding of yourself as the divine. You can't experience that without health in all of the bodies. Each body impacts the health of the next body in both directions, from the innermost sheath out, and then also from the outermost sheath in, meeting in the center sheath, which is the middle. The mental body. Health in the physical body creates vitality in the energy body, which then drives emotional and mental health. Okay, so that's from the innermost sheet outward. And at the same time, yoga practices make the mental sheath receptive to the health of the outer sheath, to the higher wisdom and the bliss of the wisdom and bliss bodies, okay, coming from further out in. The practices of this approach to health refine your sensitivity to the intelligences of all of the bodies, and it refines your ability to unify them to experience yourself with a capital S. And even beyond the self, to experience pure consciousness. It's from here, okay, with mastery of your five intelligences, that your most attuned, most mature, most sacred work comes. It's from here that you make the best, clearest business decisions. That is full self-integrity, making those decisions from yourself with a capital S. Is full self-integrity. It's also finally attuning yourself to be the vessel we've talked about, the vessel for your work coming through you. So wrapping this back to your dosha, what your dosha shows you about cultivating your health and well-being is therefore essential to you showing up in every capacity and your work showing up through you, because it's going to promote the health of all of the sheaths in your body that are going to aid and facilitate that process of accessing and acting upon your higher wisdom from yourself. Your dosha can further teach you how to structure your work to support and encourage this. So this is where I want to spend the bulk of today, is on how do you use this information both about how the doshas manifest in you and how you need to balance them to create harmony. How do you use that to help you design your work and your business around your work? Okay, your dosha can indicate what way of working most promotes harmony in you along four different metrics. I've given you another PDF handout, and that is called What Your Dosha Means for Your Business, Business Models and Considerations for the Doshas. I think that is how it is listed on the email I delivered and in the this month's materials, business models, and considerations for the doshas. And in that, I've set out four different metrics by which your dosha can help you figure out how to work in a way that promotes your own harmony. Those four metrics are focus, endurance, income model, and offer characteristics. When I say promote harmony in you, by harmony I mean create, make you peaceful, engaged, and compassionate. Okay, those are the balanced states of each of the doshas. Put another way, clear, enthusiastic, and committed. So these are balanced states of all three doshas. That is my wish for you that you experience in your business. Each of these, as I said, these are the balanced states of the doshas. They are also the attributes of the spiritual refinement of the qualities of the doshas. Okay, so we're going back to the discussion about relating your health, okay, your physical and mental health and well-being to your spiritual practice, your spiritual experience, your constant understanding of yourself, okay, as a manifestation of the divine and as a vessel for that work to come through you. So that's one way of understanding the balanced state of the doshas is as these spiritual attributes, okay, peaceful, engaged, and compassionate. So this month and in this program generally, that is our goal for your business model. Okay, to come into harmony for yourself. The type of work you do and the financial reward that you gain from it are both subsets to creating this harmony and outgrowths of creating this harmony. Okay, neither one of them is the end goal in itself or the building block in itself. Okay, what I'm trying to say here is that both the type of work you do and the financial reward are built into this model that we're discussing. Okay, in other words, these four metrics are foundational, and everything else that we usually think of in characterizing our business is both creative of this, but also a result of having these foundations in place. Okay, so it impacts it, but or it kind of fleshes it out, the bones, say, of these metrics. And it also comes directly from considering these foundational pieces first. That's what I propose and what I experience. So these four metrics, focus, endurance, income model, and offer characteristics. Let's take a look at these. Focus covers what is the characteristic of your focus. Okay, how do you focus? What is natural to you? And it covers a recommendation for creating or maintaining harmony of focus. Endurance indicates the level of your endurance. Do you expend your energy quickly or slowly? Can you manage it well over the long term or not? Okay, each dosha addresses this differently. Then both the focus and endurance taken together relate directly to my recommendations about your income model and your offer characteristics. Okay, the structure and characteristics of these that I recommend both utilize the strengths and qualities of your constitution, what's natural to you, and prevent knocking your constitution out of balance. It's going to use what's natural to you and it's going to balance you at the same time. Okay, in other words, they create the environment your constitution most needs. So let's take a look. Let's look at these by dosha. Vata is at the top of the chart in blue, and the focus of Vata is typically various and flexible. So many focus areas of focus or interest, a desire for that level of variety and flexibility. Okay, and that's an attribute that is going to create the necessary stimulation for a Vata and utilize what they are naturally drawn to. But the balancing factor in this is to use that, but to limit the number of focuses. Don't pick 15 of them. Limit them to a manageable number. It may be 2, 3. More than that tends to, in my experience, get out of hand, but you need to monitor that. Lots of people on your own, and please let me know and let the group know what your experience is with that and what an optimal number of focuses is to allow yourself creativity and flexibility and not move into overwhelm. Vata imbalance not only produces fear, but produces a feeling of overwhelm. And the reason for that is that your endurance level is short, okay? You have short bursts of energy. You may feel like when you are on and you are getting stuff done and no one can keep up with you, okay? You are that focused and you're that quick and you create and you process that quickly. And you're ready to move on to the next thing. And people are like, whoa, where did she go? We're still talking about item number one or thinking about item number one. So that is a very Vata characteristic to be able to focus on a multiplicity of things and be very flexible and move between them. However, the time that you spend is short because your endurance will wane quite quickly. So that is a reason for limiting your number. It is also a reason for setting out periods of work and periods of rest during your day that create the right level of focus versus rejuvenation. Okay, so that's the other thing that your endurance level can tell you is, okay, I know I need to create short times of focus. What does that really look like? How long a period is optimal? I want each of the doshas, I encourage each of the doshas to do that kind of conscious work around your endurance level. What is the optimal amount of time for you to focus on a project? Okay. So what does this mean? What does Vata characteristics of various and flexible, a short endurance span, what does that mean for the kind of income model and offering that can offer you the stimulation and satisfaction of that, the skill of that, and still balance the tendency toward overwhelm and being spacey or scattered or in anxiety or fear? Income model that I most recommend is a recurring income model where a client or customer invests with you and pays you the same amount over a period of time. Now, my recurring income model is very long. It's a year for both of my businesses, and that is because I have found that launching, okay, what I'll call launching, the marketing of a new offering, gaining new clients, is very depleting to me. It creates a level of overwhelm, and the up and down nature of income that comes with shorter revenue models, shorter time frame, creates large amounts of anxiety, okay, for which I may or may not have the energy at any given moment to execute in terms of gaining new work. So income model that I recommend for Vata's harmony is a recurring income model with multiple income streams, which might not have anything to do with each other. Okay, most of the time in business programs, when multiple income streams are mentioned, they're multiple income variations of the same thing. Okay, there are different ways for the same set of clients to work with you on the same focus. Okay, they're just the way of doing it is different. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. That is a better model I'm going to recommend for Pitta than it is for Vata, because it does not allow the broadness and variety of interest. It can be a hard thing to execute, especially for a Vata who may lose focus. But I think that my experience has been that in the long run, it creates a harmony of fulfillment that one-pointed focus has not been able to. So the income model, again, I recommend is recurring income model with multiple streams that do not have to be related. The offers, so what you offer within this model, I recommend that for Vata's, the offer be long-term, that it establish a long-term relationship. Once again, to create that stability, to create an intimacy that allows Vata's to feel safety and security. So pairing recurring income model with long-term relationships creates a real level of stability that allows Vata to raise their level of clarity and creativity and really minimize the experience of fear and anxiety that can get in the way. The other reason for recurring long-term offer and model is that like Vatas have short endurance in terms of their own energy, Vatas characteristically don't conserve and allocate money that effectively. So if we think about money as an energy, the doshas relate to resources, all resources, like they do their own energy. So Vatas are not particularly known for being able to save, for high level of discernment about how much they need over a long period of time financially. And so instead of allowing yourself to relying on yourself to have to do that with a chunk of money over multiple months, let the model do it for you. Break the investment of your clients down into smaller chunks so that your financial resources are managed for you by your business model. So long-term, recurring. The other characteristic goes back to flexible. Other offer characteristic is flexible, allowing for the ability for yourself and your clients or customers to work anywhere or work with you in different forms. That is very valuable and satisfying to Vata. You don't want to get yourself in too much of a rut. Despite needing structure, this is the irony, despite needing structure. So it's really an act of figuring out, okay, how do I build the flexibility into a structure that can still hold me? And that's why, again, a longer-term relationship can be very beneficial because it allows for the flexibility in the work and the relationship. And the third characteristic that I've set out for each dosha is the orientation of the offer. Okay, what kind of result or process are you probably most successful and adept at offering the people that you work with? Okay, Vata, I recommend an exploration-oriented offer. Okay, Vata is very interested in exploring. It's about change. It's about flexibility. It's about variety. It's about understanding. If we relate the air and ether qualities back to the Dharma types, it's about wisdom. It's about space, okay? The outsider, the educator, Dharma types who are exploring, who are gaining understanding and wisdom and integration, okay? This is also very characteristic of Vata. So I recommend that the offers you create, have an exploration orientation and perhaps even a wisdom orientation, an understanding orientation, a creativity orientation. Those would be variations on this exploration orientation. Let's move on to Pitta. Because once you see the contrast in these doshas and the recommended income and offer characteristics, I think that things will become more clear. So Pitta's focus is intense, okay, but it's periodic, right? It's fire. It burns. It's intense, directed, ambitious, competitive even. Okay, but it's periodic. It also wanes. So the key to utilizing this focus in the most beneficial way is to create balance, being aware of creating balance. Pitta constitution is the kind that may fall into the trap of setting a goal and being so ambitious and competitive toward that goal that they will do anything, even ignore their own well-being to meet it, okay? And so they will overextend their energy and then fall into a place of depletion. Now, that might sound like a Vata characteristic, right? Those of you who are Vata may experience that and go, wait, that sounds like me, because your endurance is short. The difference is that this is Pittas can't have a longer period of endurance. If we look at their endurance, it's kind of a midterm endurance. So Pitta will believe that they can get to their goal with their level of energy, okay? And they're going to burn, and the intensity is high. So the focus is intense and periodic, and their endurance is medium. So the key here is to create balance, not to swing all the way from one end to the other of energy and focus level, but to attempt to create some level of balance to staying between the ends of the swing of the pendulum. Very challenging for Pitta attributes. The Inga model that I recommend for your consideration if you are predominantly a Pitta dosha is periodic launches and a pyramid of streams. The reason for this is that you have the energy to commit to and follow through with launches more frequently than Vata predominant doshas. And you're stimulated by those. They trigger and support the feeling of transformation, of vitality, of high energy, of enthusiasm, of ambition, of competition either. They ignite, okay, those qualities which you have, okay? And so you want to utilize the benefits of those qualities. So periodic launches are probably a good fit for you. How often they're periodic, if it's twice a year, three times a year, four times a year, who knows, monthly would probably burn most people out. It is up to you, and you may want to play with. As far as income streams, I suggest a pyramid of streams. This is the most commonly suggested model, okay, in the business programs I have been exposed to. Periodic launches with pyramid of streams. Pyramid of streams differs from multiple streams in that a pyramid of streams pulls the same set of clients through a higher and higher level of commitment and engagement in working with you. And this is appealing to Pitta. If you're moving toward a goal, then why not have your clients and customers move toward a goal? That's exciting. That gets people moving forward. You know, that gets them results. So this would be related to the same type of work, but just at a different level, okay, or in a different mode. So a great, a very common example of this is having a program, say a 6 or 12 week program, large group, people in that, and then some of the people in that, you, when that's finished, you know, you offer something else where people can work with you more intensely or in a different setting. Another example of this in terms of where all of your work is one-to-one, it can be, you know, there are different levels of working with you. There may be, this is the scope of one project or one set of services, but if you want to work more intensely, there's another scope of project or another scope of services at a higher price point. Some of this can also work for Avada and Acapa, okay, those things that I just talked about, where if it's one-on-one services and you want to create a set of packages that are different level of service provision, different level of intensity, and a different price point, certainly those things can be modified to work with any of the doshas. For characteristics for a Pitta that could work well with periodic launches. And pyramid streams are midterm programs so that you build in some balance, don't get caught up in going and going and building and growing and more and constantly building your business, but that you have some balance in there that allows you some recovery time. Intense, okay? The intensity of the work that you do with people is probably going to be significant to you. That is probably going to be highly rewarding. It is going to be natural to your focus, to your passion, to your fiery nature as a Pitta. And related to that, results-oriented. Your offer will be results-oriented, again, because it's related to how you're naturally oriented, okay? This Pitta model, again, is the model that I see most often offered in by coaches and by coaching programs. Let's see. And results-oriented, that's pretty self-explanatory. But yes, you want your clients to get results, and you want to see results from what you offer in terms of your business's revenue and in your own growth as in your work. And now let's take a look and compare all of this to CAFA model and considerations. The focus of Kapha dosha types tends to be singular and tends to be fixed. There's not a lot of variety. Once something is chosen, there is a desire to have consistency and focus on it. Sometimes that can go too far into attachment or sort of doggedness, if you will, stubbornness. But the positive attribute is that it is consistent and it is singular. You're able to choose and commit to it. So we want to utilize that in your business. And the balancing factor for that is let's infuse some stimulation into this so that you don't move into attachment, or more likely that you don't move into inertia, okay, and that you then become bored with your work, your business fails to grow, you may be experiencing some level of depression around it, definitely sort of a kapha imbalance to be so focused on one entity and to repeat the same focus or offering for such a long period of time that you move yourself. There's not enough stimulation to even stimulate yourself, and you move into inertia and not wanting to change and depression from it. So we want to build some stimulation into the model, just like we want to build safety, security into the Vata's model. So it's sort of the opposite. Your endurance as a kapha dosha is long, so you have the ability to create significant launches if you want to. You may not have the desire, although you have the ability. And you have the ability to build your business consistently at a steady pace over a long period of time. And that is probably your preferred method for doing it. Launches, kind of, you know, grow your business quickly, get to six figures in 1 year, probably none of those types of offers apply to I wouldn't say they don't apply to you. They don't appeal to you as significantly as they appeal to the other two doshas. So you want to use your endurance, use your ability to focus without allowing yourself to fall into stagnation. So a periodic launch, again, you may want to play with the kind of cycle of these, how many in a year, but a periodic launch in the way that it stimulates kind of the natural proclivities of pitta for a kapha would build into the model that stimulation, that need to focus and bring about some level of change in routine, in offering, and in business. So I do recommend that. I recommend consecutive streams. Kaphas may not want to work at multiple things at the same time. You may want to focus on one offer that you do really substantially well and really intimately. Okay, and then once you have done that, it may grow into you thinking about and creating another stream. So Vata may want two or three things going on at the same time. Pitt does want people to want things that build upon each other to head toward a higher goal. Kaphas are going to take things in a more linear fashion. Growth is going to be over a longer period of time. And by growth, I don't necessarily mean financial growth. I mean kind of growth of your offering, maturation of yourself and your work. They appear more linear, I'm going to suggest, and be consecutive than the other models. So for this, the offer characteristics I recommend are a short to medium term characteristic. Okay, you may feel resistant to this. Your inclination is to go long term. I'm going to invite you to shorten that term, even a little bit for now. You know, create a medium term offer so that you have to make some change, so that you infuse some stimulation and some movement into your business and into your work routine for yourself. The nature of the offer, I'm going to suggest, is rhythmic. You're really in tune to that closeness to the natural cycle, really in tune to a level of depth and a level of intimacy, and that there's going to be a rhythm that is not quick and flexible. but is not kind of intensely focused either. The work that you do with people will have some kind of nice harmonic rhythm that makes people feel well taken care of. One of the highest qualities of Kapha's manifestation is healing, right? Stability, harmony. And so I recommend that the offers that you make are nurturance oriented, that they're healing oriented. That's another way of putting it, that if you capitalize on your innate constitution's nature to make people feel held and well and nurtured. So those are my recommendations for each. Those are the considerations and recommendations for bringing you or keeping you in harmony in business based upon your dosha. Lastly, the doshas also provide key insight into the health of your business itself as an organism. Your business is separate from you. So you can design its model to capitalize on your attributes and balance you for harmony. But we also need to take a look at the health of your business itself as an organism, because once you create it, it's its own entity, okay? And its health is key to your fulfillment, just like your own is. So how is that possible? How do the doshas, these biological energy forces, apply to your business health? Well, it comes back to the key attributes of each dosha. Vata brings clarity and creativity. Pitta brings transformation and vitality. Kapha brings stability and harmony. Okay, so these attributes will bring your business, you have them in the right balance, bring your business itself into a harmonic state, which means that it's going to be much more stable in supporting you in your health and your life in a harmonic state. So what to ask is, you know, is there enough creativity in my business? Is there enough uniqueness and adaptivity? Am I allowing for that? Okay, am I allowing for those vata qualities to express? Is there enough transformation? Am I, you know, is there enough value? Am I providing significant value in the work that I do? Am I providing transformation to my clients or my customers? Is my business providing it to me? Is it causing me to change? Is it causing transformation to me? Is it providing value, a significant value to me and my life? Okay. Am I allowing business to express enough pitta quality? And is there enough stability? Do I have systems and structures to support all of this adaptivity and creativity and transformation that's happening? What is keeping everything intact? What's keeping it going? Am I consistent in using the systems and structures, or do I have a system for being consistent? Do I have a team, help, structural way of being consistent in the stability, the things that keep my business stable? Am I allowing my business to express enough Kapha qualities? So let's take a moment and take a breath here. I just want to invite you to get a snapshot for yourself of where things are at. If you can tap into the quality, the energy constitution of what's happening right now with your work and your business. So if you haven't already, come into a comfortable seat and we'll just do a little breath work to bring you into a space to test this out. So first, straightening your spine, I'm going to ask you to curl, to hold up your right hand, and curl your three middle fingers in. So your pinky and your thumb are extended. And then place your thumb over your right nostril. Okay, just closing it. And take a breath into your left nostril. And then close the left nostril with your pinky and exhale the breath out of your right nostril. Then breathe into your right, close the right nostril, and breathe out of your left. Okay, and we'll just repeat this four more times. Breathing in and exhaling. Breathing in, closing the nostril, and exhaling. Breathing in the same side, closing the nostril, and exhaling. And breathing in, closing the nostril, and exhaling. 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 Now take a breath in both nostrils, and exhale. And now taking a short breath in, I'll ask you to begin the breath of fire. We practiced this breath in, I believe it was month 3, and it's a short breath made by contracting your belly. So if you put your hand on your belly and breathe in and let it expand, and then contract the belly back, it makes a strong sound as you breathe out. So you just shorten the breath. You can do half a breath now to try. And shortening the breath to a place that's comfortable. Continuing to do that fire breath for a few rounds. And exhaling all the breath out fully, and then taking a big breath in, and exhaling that breath out fully. Now, curling the tongue if you can. If you cannot curl your tongue, it's genetic, don't worry about it. You'll breathe in over a flat tongue if you can't curl your tongue. So curling your tongue, sticking it out, you're going to breathe in either through the curled tongue or over the top of the tongue, and then breathe out through your nose. And then continuing that for 5 breaths, breathing in through a curled tongue, releasing the tongue, and breathing out through your nose. 3 more times. And exhale. Now keeping your eyes closed, bring your attention to your body. And just assess for yourself how you are right now. How is your physical body? How is your energetic body? How is your mental body? How is your wisdom body? And where is that bliss? What is your relationship and is your relationship and ability to access each one of those in this moment? And now asking yourself, which of the doshas is expressing itself most in me right now? Not right in this moment, but as I go about my life and my work as it is right now, how am I experiencing Vata? How am I experiencing Pitta? How am I experiencing Kapha? Am I feeling flexible, creative, clear? Am I feeling scattered, fearful, spacey? Am I feeling vital, engaged, enthusiastic? Am I feeling angry, spiteful? Am I feeling ambitious at all costs? Am I feeling stable? Am I feeling compassionate? Am I feeling well supported? Do I feel in harmony? Am I feeling attached or inert or depressed in some way? And then I'll take a deep breath in. And on the exhale, releasing inner energy that has to do with yourself. And I'll take another breath in. And exhale naturally. Draw your attention to your business. Okay? You know how you are expressing right at this moment. How is your business expressing the doshas in this moment? How is your business unique and adaptive? How is your business giving and getting value? How is it creating transformation? Is it creating enough value, enough transformation? How is it creating stability and consistency? Is it creating enough stability and consistency? And the answer to these may be words, they may be feelings, they may be energetic. So just sitting with that, taking a breath in and releasing any judgment with your exhale. And then turning your palms up, imagining that you have the moon in your left hand and imagining that you have the sun in your right. And you can feel the qualities of the moon, cool, soothing, and the qualities of the sun, hot, fiery. and feel them in the palm of your hands. And then take a breath in. And on the exhale, draw your hands together, moving the moon into the sun and the sun into the moon, feeling the energies between your hands and drawing your hands together in prayer. Taking a breath in and exhaling to open your eyes. Feeling yourself in harmony, feeling your business as balance, the ability to be in balance and in harmony, and your ability to be in balance and in harmony. That is our goal. So I will leave it there. Again, more deeper understanding of the qualities and some balancing practices for the doshas will be brought to you by Rishi. So please feel free if you have any questions in that regard to keep those and ask those of him. For now, I will open it up. I've gone over a little bit, but if you have time to stay with me, I'll open it up to some questions. You can press *6 if you have a question about anything that we talked about today.
This isn't a question so much as a comment, but I'm really, really loving the combination of the doshas and the business model. That is feeling so exciting to me. So,
thank you. Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like permission to be like, oh, I could do it this other way.
Yeah, tell me more about that. Do you have more to say about that?
Well, like you said, all the models that I've seen, that I've experienced, have their pitta in some form. It's that model of business, and it's very results-oriented, and it's very intense, and it's very transformative, and it's got that super active energy to it. And I'm never going to match that energy. Like, that is not an energy I can sustain. And so being able to think about, oh, there's another way to do this. And it's not as flashy maybe, it's not as shiny, but for me, it's going to be a lot more sustaining.
Yes. And because it's sustaining and because it's more natural to you, it meets your constitution, you are going to shine in it. Okay,
right.
So your own vitality, which is a pitta quality, is going to shine through in your business, and it's going to meet the people who need and want the work you do in the way that you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody wants the pitta model.
Mm-hmm.
It may seem like we do. We might go in for it sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Let's also remember that there is some level of transfer. You might call it transformation. You might just call it value. But there's some level of value in any type of offering, in any of these models.
Right.
There's a value that people take away from it. But I think it's like the Dharma path. What's the orientation of that value?
Right.
You know, bring in people on a Vata model who love exploration, love understanding. They're going to be so happy with working with you. They're just going to be happy little creatures working with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it matches people who have the desire and need for that. The other thing is, and I didn't mention this, but each of the doshas obviously have something to add to or teach the other doshas, right? So it also could be that you are helping a dosha, a pitta dosha client become more balanced by allowing space for exploration. That could be part of your model, right? Or you are serving a kapha client in a vata model by injecting stimulation into their thinking about their own self, their own lives, their own work, or whatever it is mm-hmm. that the focus of your work is. Although, you know, a vata or any of the doshas, although their model might appeal most naturally to those of the same predominant dosha, I almost argue that they're more beneficial to people of other doshas mm-hmm. because they teach and allow for the balance and the harmony, the things that are needed for balance and harmony. So that's another layer to think about in terms of as you're building out your model and thinking about your audience and the value that's given to your audience. Don't feel like the attributes of the model need to limit sort of the innate constitutions of the folks mm-hmm. who work with you. Not necessarily true. Well, thank you for that feedback. It's been very exciting and an exploration for me. Gigantic, gigantic aha moment when mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God, wow. This recurring revenue, long-term recurring revenue model completely changed my life.
Yeah.
So my hope is that for the other doshas, it is exactly the same. I can only speak experientially, right, to my own constitution. But certainly qualitatively, it exists or has the benefit in the same way for each one of the doshas. So I'm excited to hear about and watch you work with this.
Yeah, me too.
Good. Yay. Okay. Anything else? Any other questions or comments, feedback, synthesis?
Rebecca.
Yes. Hello.
It's Anne. I forgot to unmute myself.
I've been trying. Were you just talking? Going, why can't you hear me?
Yeah. So I'm curious about, an imbalance. And I am a pitta by the assessment that we did.
Yes.
And you talk about how everybody has all or some of each
yes.
in them. And so, you know, I can see that as well, but it is interesting to hear this and to relate it to what I was just talking about earlier in the week. I mean, I think that my husband even told me this about a year ago. We were having a conversation. He said, Anne, you're a middle distance runner.
Yes, you are. Yes, you can. That's a great analogy. You know,
Vata
is a sprinter.
Yeah.
Yes, a pitch is a mid-distancer, and a kapha is a marathoner, and that's the nature of it. But the thing that pitta, and I see this in your comments earlier this week and over the last couple of months, the thing that gets pitta is that they burn, okay?
Yeah.
And they're going to burn themselves out. They're going to fill their schedule. They're going to fill their to-do list. They're going to go, and they're going to go for it. And they forget that they're mid-distance runners.
Right.
Because their ambition, their drive, their fire is, it's to the top, I guess. Is what
right.
I'm
and I think I kind of misunderstood that to be more of a vata imbalance. because when I get to that point, I lose all focus, you know, and
yeah.
And I think that I need, anyway, this is helping me a lot to really understand that it is, I do like variety, but I have to be more strategic about that variety, I think. You know, it's so some of the things that you describe as vata qualities appeal to me on some level, and I think that I have to be careful not to go there too intensely, maybe, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so, right, you should know that, you know, vata pitta comes in combination very frequently.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a vata-pitta combination or a pitta-vata combination, they come together frequently. In fact, one of these references, one of the people I've worked with has said that actually vata-pitta, they love yoga. And that most of his students are vata pitta or pitta vata. So don't get too, like with the, you know, again, as I said at the beginning of the call, calling yourself one dosa is an oversimplification. It
yeah.
can be very, very helpful to point out kind of your key attributes. Some of us are much farther, have a much higher percentage of one than the other two, and some people are much more even between two, or occasionally there are people who are more tridosic, but apparently that is quite rare also. But most of us fall somewhere between, in some combination, right, so that two express themselves much more frequently than the third. So it'd be very rare to have only one express itself most predominantly, and it'd be very rare to have three express themselves equally. So just keep that in mind. And pitta can affect vata. Does that make sense? So pitta burning and burning and burning and burning to the point of, you know, going to the point of burning out or adding too much to the schedule, can drive vata out of balance. So you drive yourself to being scattered, right?
Right, exactly.
At the same time, in some regards, if you have a vata inclination in terms of wanting to be have variety, but you have a pitta inclination of being intense about it, then that can create, you know, the overscheduling. So they definitely play into each other and can create imbalances. Any of the doshas can create an imbalance, and being out of balance can create an imbalance in other doshas. So as I said in the beginning, they're holistic and they're dynamic. So they're never really you can't say that you bring kind of a balance. You can't really say that you create a harmony and then it's harmonic, and that's it. You're done. They're always in flux. So it is that kind of constant awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So for pittas, what we have been talking about, which is creating space so that there is a balance in that rhythm of work and rest, work and rest, work and rest, work and rest, is going to be really, really key. And it's going to probably be the biggest challenge.
Mhm.
So,
and it's going to take, I think, that kapha element in the business, to the systems and all that in place to support that, it seems.
It does. It does. Yes. So the kapha elements in the business can come, they're foundational, really. They come underneath the rest of it so that you're able to have that balance, that you're not feeling innately pulled or compulsively pulled into intense overwork or putting out fires, or for vata, they experience this flitting from one thing to another, oh my God, there's too much to do, right? So mm-hmm. you could go one of two ways with that when things are not, when there's not the structure and systems in place to create that container of stability and of things moving consistently the way they're supposed to. You could go into intense overwork to just get it done, or you can go into intense overwhelm about what has to be done. So they're kind of two, one's a vata expression and one's a pitta expression, but you can see how they're both related to not having the kapha aspects sufficiently present.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Good. And so I think another way is to create balance in that way, and this is a pitta concept, is you know, really looking at the value. We talked about this earlier this week, Anne. Really looking at the value you provide and amping up the fire on the value. Not by working harder, by recognizing that there's value traps in what, unrealized value traps in what you're already providing.
Hmm.
So either by repackaging it or certainly probably, you know, possibly raising your fees, but sometimes that'll require an assessment, you know, usually it requires an assessment of the value so that you can convey that value in a
right.
significant way to the people, because that is what will make them comfortable with the investment.
Hmm.
So that's a pitta concept, like turning up the heat on that, on the value, and say, you know what, I don't need to do more. I just need to extract and understand better the value and ask for more value for the value that I provide.
That's great. That validates another program that I'm participating in at the moment about transactions. And it's going. I think I'm in the beginning stages of it. I think it'll be quite interesting to see where that goes. But it is helpful to have that little bit of validation that that is what I need to be doing, because mm-hmm. it's going to be an intense program. Talk about fire.
But, yeah.
I do appreciate the reminder that I'm going to have to rest in the midst of it all.
You do. I heard at one point my teacher gave one of my fellow students her sadhana. I mean, that's what we call a daily practice, sadhana. Her daily practice was to sit for 5 minutes and do absolutely nothing.
Oh, really?
She said, maybe, okay, since you can't do nothing, you can drink a cup of tea. Like, it was that kind of thing. Like, you can have hot water or you can have tea, but you can't have soda, you can't have coffee, okay? This isn't sit and, like, spend your 5 minutes revving your system up. Like, 5 minutes.
Right.
Because
right.
she just, like, filled her day. Like, she was constantly going from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another, right? And so it was sit for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
For 5 minutes, you have to do nothing every day. So even if you have to do that, but I think that what you talked about earlier this week, how you were able to give yourself a different schedule, a schedule of more rest when you were sick,
mm-hmm.
I would use that. I would assess, okay, how did that go? You know, how was I able to show up? Obviously, you were probably not feeling that great when you did show up. But in terms of, you know, what did that mean for the work that I produced? What did it mean for how I showed up? There is a diminished return on working longer and harder.
Yes, I understand that.
And it can be a hard thing for our pitta attribute. because mm-hmm. the mind is always going to latch on to, well, I'll just do this. Oh, well, if I work harder. Oh, but I see the goal right there.
Right,
I can reach
like,
it.
Why should I go to bed at 10? If I could stay up till 1, I could be finished.
I could just be done.
And
right?
Then
so for one,
I could
get,
just start all over.
1 o'clock gets there, and you go, oh, wait, I'm not done yet. Okay, well, I'll just stay up. Now I'm really in it. Now I really have to finish. So, yeah,
right.
It goes on and on and on.
Right. That's right. Okay. Well, this is great.
Okay,
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Have you had anything to eat, Joseph? Emily, I'm sorry, Pumpkin. Let me call and make sure that